Well, good morning, everyone. Kevin, would you like to open and pray for me?
Let's pray. Father, we come before you again this morning, and we thank you for the privilege of gathering here. Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here and to sit under the preaching of your word. And Father, we just think of Lewis here, Father, as he's preparing to share here. Lord, we just ask that you would guide and lead his lips. Lord, help him to share the things that you want him to and leave the rest out, Father, that the words would be from you, Father. Just help him, Father, guide and lead and direct him. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Well, I greet you all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning, and it's a blessing to be here, and it's always exciting. I always think on Sunday mornings I see all these people get together like this, and this is a blessing. There's so many people that are out, they're out on the lakes, they're out boating and fishing and doing exciting things for themselves, and they just don't have time for their worship or their services. And I just appreciate people that do take time to take a time out for the Lord. He is worthy. And as I sort of had a little bit of overlap on our thoughts here, the thoughts I had initially this morning was that it's an amazing thing that Jesus did for us. He actually came down, as we heard already this morning, and gave his life, and he shed enough blood that every man, woman, and child that was ever born could be saved. There was enough blood for every person that was ever born. They could, if they would choose, they could have eternal salvation. But they have to choose. And the sad thing is, many, as I said, they just go the other way. They serve their flesh, and they just want to have a good time. They're only going to live once, and they're just going to have some fun. They're going to try to make things right someday. But not just right now. That was me. That's a mindset that I had for many years. Lord, God have mercy on my soul. And I thank him for that. Another sad thing is there are many people that die and have never heard the gospel. I'm not sure where that how that lays, but in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the thoughts that I put together this morning, I've titled it, I had the same opening last Sunday at Keystone, I titled it Footsteps. Where are we going? What is our goal? What is our vision? Where are our footsteps leading us? The average person takes about 7,500 steps a day. And if you would live to be 80 years old, they estimate that you would walk approximately 110,000 miles in your lifetime. And that would be about around the equator, about five times around the earth. And this is some just math statistics that I've found. And but as a, what path are we walking on? The way I understand it, there are only two roads. We're either on the road to destruction, or we're walking on the path to blissful eternity in heaven. There is no middle road. You're either on one road or the other one. And whichever road we choose to travel, when we get to the end of that road, we get to the end of that journey, we can't turn around and come back. That's where it's a journey we chose, and we have to, that's where we're going to be. And we cannot, like I said, we cannot come back. And so we need to be very aware of where we are going. And as I was thinking about footsteps, I had this thought. I often heard it said, you know, we never know when the end of our journey is going to be, when our last day is going to be. And I've heard people often say that, keep in mind, every morning when you put your shoes on, you know, there's going to one day you're going to put your shoes on and you're going to go out the door and you're going to go about your activities, and somewhere later on that day or that evening, someone else is going to take them shoes off. Your journey is going to be over. And we know not when that will be. Let's not be deceived. Another thought that I ran across as I was preparing these thoughts here, and it's something that sort of sparked my interest. If you go out west, out in the mountains of Wyoming and Colorado and the Rocky Mountain Range, there is a place way high up in the mountains that is called the Continental Divide. It's the highest point in the United States. And I think that would be west, right? And then this year would be east. And that is the highest point in the United States. So if we have two drops of water here, and one goes down this way, and one goes down this way, it's amazing what the outcome of that is. It would not seem to matter much whether a drop of water goes to the left or to the right, but the outcome of these drops of water are totally different. One drop goes to the west, and eventually flows into the Colorado River and empties into the Gulf of California and then the Pacific Ocean. The other drop goes east until it flows into the Mississippi River and dumps into the Gulf of Mexico and then eventually the Atlantic Ocean. Two drops of water, two entirely different destinations, but just one small turning point that made that difference. That little peak. One way, one went the other way. And I thought that was sort of a nice parable that we can think about which way we're going to choose to go in life. We must choose our destination and accept the journey that it takes to get there. We must choose that destination and make our destination sure. There's many people that choose their journey, and then they have to accept the destination that's in store for them. They choose their journey because they want to have a little fun, and they don't mean for it to get out of hand, but they're going to go this way. They're only going to live once, and that is a very dangerous thing to do. And that's what I did also. I praise God for having mercy on my soul. And Matthew 7:13-14, it says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." I'm always intrigued by that word "few." What does that mean? How few is few? Out of billions and billions of people, I've often wondered, it just seems so sad that there's so many people that are going to miss it. According to Scripture, let's pray that we're not in that number. We want to be in the few that find it, whatever it takes. What are we doing as we walk along this journey in our life, as we walk along? Do we notice the poor people along the ways? Do we notice the crippled people, the widows? Do we take time to encourage the discouraged, the depressed, and the sad people in our path? They're on all sides. If we just are aware of where we're going, they're everywhere. They're all around us. And it's amazing if somebody like one of us that has found the Lord and been blessed with a new heart and have a new life, if somebody like us walked up to a discouraged or sad person and just said just a few kind words, and it'd go on our way, that could have a huge impact on that person's life. It could give him courage to get up and go on, whatever he's facing. And I was thinking about Lazarus, the beggar. He laid at the rich man's gate full of sores. And how many times a day do we suppose that that rich man came out in and out of his gate every day? We don't know. But I could envision that multiple times a day he would come in and out of his mansion, dressed in fine linen, and there lay this poor man. And he never helped him. Let that not be us. We must have a passion in our heart for the hurting, the maimed, and the lost. If we don't have a passion in our heart for the lost people, let's pray to God that He would give us a passion for the lost. That's one thing that will keep us vibrant and alive. If we have a passion for the lost and the hurting and care for them and try to figure out ways to help them and reach out to them and put roadblocks in their path and that's our focus. That's our one thing. God gave us a new heart. We have our ticket to heaven. You might say that, you know, Lord, you know, he that endures to the end shall be saved. We understand that, but I don't think we should just sit there and not. I'm blessed where I'm at now. But we need to help other people. That's what it's all about, is helping other people. And like I said, if we don't have that passion, pray that God would give us that passion, and I believe He will. He will give us a passion, and that's just something that will really sustain us. I had a friend that used to be my friend for about 45 years. His name was Michael J. Harper. He was a big, tall man, and he was a somewhat, I don't know if he was a devout Catholic. He was a practicing Catholic, and he was into Buddhism, and he was a Hindu practitioner. And he was my friend, and for many, many years, he was my driver. He would take me to cabinet job sites and things like that. But then I would use him to take me to sinful places and he'd take me to bad places, and he'd drop me off, and he'd wait for me or come back and pick me up at a later time. And then when God gave me a new heart in 2014, and I was with this man for many, many years, living a vile, sinful life, and we were his best friends, and he would smoke marijuana and stuff, and one day in 2014, God gave me a new heart, and my life got transformed, and then he was still my driver, and in the following years, I would sit beside him as we were driving along the roadway, and I wouldn't go back to them places anymore. Then I was gentle, because I had to break it gently to him. Then I started telling him about God, and he knew that something happened to me. And I tried to explain to him that there really is a God, and there really is a hell. And Mike, these things that you are practicing are not correct. They're not right. And then one day he laughed at me. He said, "Oh, Lewis," he said, "lighten up. Come on. If there really is a God, He would not be that cruel to put someone into hell for all eternity. That lighten up, Lewis. I'm not buying that." And I kept trying. Through these years, I talk about footsteps. One day he came into my shop, and for some reason, I felt inspired to do. He was a tall man, and he had a size 14 shoe, I think. And he was walking through my shop one day, and I asked him to stop. And I grabbed this piece of plywood, and I asked him to stand on this piece of plywood. And I traced the footprints of his shoes around the plywood. There was an actual footprint of his life. In midstream during his life, he stopped, and he was in his shoes. And that was the footprints that he left behind. But his journey came to an end. every time I see them, I have them hanging in the shop. It makes me sad every time I see him. He came down with cancer, and he had a long, miserable ending, and he was slowly dying. And I would go to his bedside and I would share the gospel with him. I'd share with him, and he would listen, but he wouldn't receive it. He said, "Well, thank you for coming," and I finally came to the last day. He was very near death, and I went to his house one last time, me and my wife and daughter. Actually, Brother John Lonica and John and Sarah was with me, and their family went with me on that last time we went to his house. He was real thin, laying in his deathbed. We sang some songs for him, and then I asked him, "Mike," I said, "you remember what I told you, what you need to do to be able to go to heaven? You remember what I told you, right?" And he put his hands together and he shut his eyes and said, "Lewis, nope, I will not convert. Nope, I will not convert." And he would not reopen his eyes. That's the last vision I have of him. I left his room. He was just like that. He is determined. He's not going to convert. And he died that way. Unless something happened during that night that I'm not aware of, he is in misery today. I don't, but something could have happened during the night, but most of the time, I have heard it said many times that majority of the people are going to die the way they live. The way you live your life from year after year in, year out, that's very likely how you're going to die. It's very unlikely that you're all of a sudden going to be the last minute. If you're living a wicked life, it's very unlikely that all of a sudden you're going to change your ways at the last minute. It can happen, but it's unlikely. And there's a verse here in Psalms 37:23. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." And I'd like to have a little poem here I'd like to read. I'm sure you guys have all heard this poem. It's about "Walk a Little Plainer, Daddy." It's about a father and a son. The son is talking to his father. "Walk a little plainer, Daddy," said a little child so frail. "I'm following in your footsteps and I don't want to fail. Sometimes your steps are very plain, but sometimes they're hard to see. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for you are leading me. I know that once you walked this way many years ago, and what you did along the way, I'd really like to know. For sometimes when I am tempted, I don't know what to do. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you. Someday when I'm all grown up, you are what I want to be. And then when I have a little child who will want to follow me, and I would want to lead them right. So help them to be true. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for we must follow you." Let's not have any gray areas in our life. Another scenario that I've often been involved in myself. A person lives a life. You know a person for many, many years. And then this person dies. You go to the viewing and you walk by this coffin. I've done it many times. You stop and you look at this person. I wonder where he went. Because you knew his life. You knew the things that he did. The things that... let's not leave any gray areas. Let's not leave any gray areas. We should... Our life should, when they look at our life, if it be one of us in the coffin, one of us, and the people walking by, will they tell their children, will they look at them, our life as a warning or as an example? we might be an example. And in closing, I guess I just like to say, let's be very aware of our footsteps are leading every day, and be alert for hurting souls along our pathway. I don't have much more than that, and I just, again, I'm blessed to be here, and thank you for all the visitors that came this morning, and I just wish God's blessings on everyone. Thank you.